I want to read this account to you this morning, an incident that took place when our Lord and His disciples was crossing the Sea of Galilee. I want to begin reading here in verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, He said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, "Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's been said concerning this incident here that it's very typical of the believer's journey of life through this world. He's journeying through a life headed for another shore, headed for heaven's shore. And if that is so, if you and I can liken it this morning to it being that, a believer's journey to another shore, to heaven's shore, then the first thing that you and I see here this morning is what we're likely to encounter. Because as soon as these disciples had got in the ship upon this sea, they encountered here, we're told, opposition. They encountered hardships. They encountered trials. We're told there in verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon that ship." So the road to heaven, you and I could conclude immediately from this passage, is not always easy. It's not an easy road. Now some people have thought, it's been their perception, someone has told them that when they profess the Lord Jesus, that the way would be easy. And to their surprise, they've soon found out that it's not that way. They've encountered tribulations. They've encountered opposition. And it's not only surprised them, but it's discouraged them. And even some, it's offended. We see from this passage that the Christian life is not always easy. The road from the shore of this earth to the shore of heaven is filled with tribulations and trials. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. I know that the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's way for a believer, is filled with joy. I've never known such joy in my heart. And some of you can witness this in your own heart as knowing the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I have never known such love as the love of God that's shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I've never known such peace. What could we say about that peace of God that rules in our heart? Knowing that Jesus Christ has made peace for us. How deep must that peace be in a man or a woman who knows that God is not angry with him anymore? That Jesus Christ has satisfied for his sins, and now instead of seeing God's frowning face, he sees God's smiling face. That's peace, ain't it? Peace that passeth all knowledge. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, the songwriter said. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever I pray in phantomless billows of love. How much joy must a man have in his soul that is persuaded that his sin has been paid for? That he'll never answer for that sin again? That he'll never perish, but there is in heaven a home reserved for him of the Lord himself. I tell you, a believer sometime rejoices with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can't underestimate that. But having said all of that, according to this passage here, we know also that these very same people are apt to experience great tribulation and opposition and trial in this world. And you know we're forewarned of this. It's not something that should take us by surprise. It does often, but we're forewarned of it. You know, these disciples here, they were forewarned of this trouble that could come upon them if they'd had only listened to what the Master had said. You read Matthew's account of this in Matthew chapter 8, and it tells us as much. Just before they got into this ship and headed across this Sea of Galilee, there was a scribe who came to the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." The Lord was getting in the boat ready to go across this sea. And he said, "Wherever you go, I'll follow you." And the Lord turned to that scribe and he said, "Let me tell you something about following me. The birds of the air have nests to get in when it comes night," he said. "The foxes will have holes to get in tonight for protection. But," he said, "I have no place to lay my head. Do you still want to follow me?" Another one came to him and he said, "Lord, I'll go with you across this sea if you'll let me first bury my dead father." And he said, "You let the dead bury the dead and you come and follow me." The Lord pulls no punches with us, does he? He doesn't deceive us. He doesn't say, "You come after me and the way will be easy." He turned to a crowd who was following him one day and he said, "Let me tell you something about following me. If you don't deny your father and your mother and your wife and your brothers and sisters and your houses and your land and your own life also, you cannot follow me." What's involved in following the Lord Jesus? Well, I tell you, I found in my experience, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's oppositions, there's storms that arises against a man's soul. But let me say this about this. It's not just peculiar to God's people. Everybody in this world suffers tribulation. There's trials that's common to some degree to every man and woman and boy and girl that's here this morning, whether you know the Lord or not. You know, there's family trials that all of us go, everybody goes through. All of us know something about family trials, don't we? We've all suffered. And I tell you, sometimes I think the most dreadful trials and the heaviest trials is family trials. Ask David the king about family trials. Or Eli the priest, or Samuel the prophet. Even our Lord Jesus himself had brethren that did not believe him. But everybody suffers family trials. And what about suffering with our health? I have a brother now that has cancer. And I went yesterday and helped him most of the day. And he'd stand up for 2 or 3 minutes and he'd have to sit down or fall down. I remember when he was a big, strong, healthy man, weighed about 200 pounds. Now he's down to 141 pounds. He doesn't know the Lord, but he's lost his health. This world suffers with that, don't they? Everybody suffers tribulation. Everybody finds that life is a trial one way or the other. But there is those trials that's peculiar to the Lord's people. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you will probably suffer for His name's sake. "Blessed are they, and blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for the gospel's sake. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You have professed the name of Christ. You tell other people about Him. You preach and you testify of His Word. But it's not long till you find out this world does not like the Christ that you love. And you begin to suffer persecution for His sake. A believer may well be hated by this world. Marvel not if the world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. A believer will be persecuted by Satan and the fallen angels. Haven't we experienced this? We've experienced this. I tell you, the devil, he is a spirit. He's called the god of this world, the ruler, the prince of the darkness of this world. And how sometimes he gets into our minds and he suggests to us ungodly thoughts, all these blasphemies that he puts in our mind. Isn't that a terrible trial? It's like this wind that came against these disciples. It's a blistering wind. It's a fiery dart against the conscience of children of God. And the Scripture says we wrestle. Have you ever wrestled with anyone? My sons used to wrestle in high school. And they would take 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And you didn't get a break. 3 minutes to wrestle someone in that little circle. And I tell you, put out everything you had for 3 minutes. One of the most difficult sports that we know of in this world is wrestling. I mean, it's hand to hand. And if you let up, your adversary is going to get you. And we have an adversary called the devil as a roaring lion. And he comes to our mind suggesting these things. And oh, what a trial it is to us sometimes. What a trial it is. And what about this trial in our own heart? Oh, it's a storm sometimes, isn't it? You know what I mean when I talk about a conflict within your soul. There's a conflict going on between sin and holiness. Between faith and unbelief. Between the flesh and the spirit. The old man and the new man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And this conflict sometimes reaches the point that you almost say, how can I go on? Such opposition. Such tribulation going on in my soul. How can I go on? And sometimes what makes this trial even greater, it seems like the Lord is asleep. And it seems like we toil in vain. And we roll for no use whatsoever. Can you imagine these men rowing in this storm and against this storm? And they weren't getting any place. And where was the Lord Jesus? Ain't this amazing? I've often wondered in my heart, which one was the most afflicting to the conscience of these disciples? Was it the storm that they were roaring against? Or was it the fact that the Lord seemed to be so indifferent to the storm they were fighting against? What an affliction it is. Brethren, when we come here and we're confronted with this mighty wind and the waves, you know what that means in your soul. You've experienced it. When you're tried, when heaven is shut up, when the Bible is a sealed book, when you find nothing but opposition and disappointment, when you look down to your little ship and it's filling up with water, and when you look out before you, you can't see because of the blistering wind. And when you look up to try to pray, all that's there is a dark cloud and not a ray of sunshine can shine through it. Have you been there? This poor world of religion has no idea what I'm saying this morning. But some of you know, don't you? Some of you know. And what makes our situation so much more worse, it seems the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, our helper, our shepherd, our friend, our Savior, is not even aware of the trouble that we're in. Lord, you're sleeping? Let me quote to you some scripture we find over in David. And I think this is one of the reasons that we like the Psalms so well. Because David so often faced these two things. He faced trouble. He found trouble. He found sorrow. But what made his trouble so much greater was the Lord had hid his face from him. You know, if you can see the Lord, or if you can see him, trouble vanishes, doesn't it? But what makes your trouble, what makes your burden unbearable is when he hides his face from you. And listen, let me quote some scriptures to you, and you can relate to this. Here's what David said. How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long, Lord, will you hide your face from me? That's bad enough, eh? That's bad enough for him to hide his face from it. But listen, he goes on. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider, Lord, and hear me. O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I move. He was in trouble, and the Lord hid his face. Listen to another scripture. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint because of the enemy, because of oppression. My heart is pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. I tell you, it's bad enough if we have to face death. But oh, it's unbearable if God hides his face from us and we still face death. And listen to another scripture. Hide not thy face from thy servant, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Hear me, Lord, hear me speedily. Draw nigh to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. And listen to this scripture. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline your ear unto me in the day that I call upon thee, Lord. Hear me speedily. And here's another one. Hear me, O Lord, my spirit fails me. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. See what these disciples faced? They faced this storm. And what made it worse? The Lord was asleep on a pillow. He seemed like he was indifferent to the trouble that had came upon him. What does the scripture tell us? That we'll face these things. You'll face these things. Set it in your soul, dear brothers and sisters. You're going to find tribulation. You're going to find trials. From earth's coast to heaven's coast, you're going to be tried. And what makes your trial that much more severe is the Lord's going to hide his face from your soul. This being so, here's my second point. This being so, that we're going to suffer these trials and tribulations, how important it must be. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Since you and I are going to face these things as children of God, how important it must be for us to make certain, as much as God will give us grace to make it sure, that you and I have been called and put on this way. Ain't that important? I tell you, I bet it was no small comfort. It should have been great comfort to these disciples to know that we're not out here because we decided to come out here. We're out here because the Lord said, get into the ship and go to the other side. Matthew even said he commanded them to get in the ship and go to the other side. Ain't that a comfort? As I stand here before you, I tell you one of the most dreadful occupations I think a man could have is attempting to preach the gospel. As I stand before you week after week, I tremble to think that I'm here and opened up this Bible and said, here's what God said. I tremble to think that just a few days from now, I must go to face my Lord and give account of my preaching of His gospel. But one of the things that comforts me is I have not called myself to this pulpit. I did not put myself into the ministry. I tried to avoid it as best I could. And when you and I think that you and I are on the road to heaven this morning, when we face this opposition and these dangers that sometimes fill our souls with doubt and fear, one of the things that surely has to comfort us to know that we did not put ourselves on this way. We've experienced a heavenly calling. The Lord has come to our conscience, and we've heard the sound of warning in our souls to flee from the wrath to come. To let go of your sin, to let go of yourself, to let go of your way. and to give yourself up to the Lord Jesus, to be saved by Him, and to follow Him fully without reservation. Haven't you heard that in your conscience? The Lord has thoroughly changed some of you, hasn't He? The way you think, what you think, what you know, what you believe about God, how He saves sinners. You used to have a knowledge of Christ, but that had no effect upon your life. But now you have such a knowledge of Him that He's precious to you. You count all loss just to be found in Him and have His righteousness and to be accepted in Him. Your life has been changed. Your thoughts about yourself and sin, you have been thoroughly changed from what you were a few years ago. What has happened to you? He has called you. He has saved you. He has made you a new creature. And now everything you know, He's taught you. And where you are today, it's because He brought you there. And you're on this road from heaven, from earth to heaven, because He put you there. That's got to be a measure of comfort, dear soul, when you face these trials. And it seems like you can't go any further. Your ship is full of water, and you've paddled until you wore out. It's got to be a measure of comfort to know I'm not here because I decided to be a Christian. I'm not here because I made a decision for Christ. I'm here because God in heaven began a work in my soul. A work of repentance and work of faith. That's what I'm doing on this way. I think if these disciples would have remembered that, what are we doing out of this dangerous place? Well, they would have remembered this. The Lord commanded us. This is the Lord's way. He called us to it. He ordained this way. And then they would have had to remember the same Lord who called us and put us on this way. He's the same Lord that will get us to the other coast, the other side of the sea. I like to read verse 35 of chapter 4 and verse 1 of chapter 5 together. I love to read this together. Look at verse 35 of chapter 4. Let me read the last portion of that to you again. Look at what the Lord Jesus said. Let us pass over unto the other side. And look at chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. Now, ain't that amazing? And you know, I think if they would have remembered His Word and would have lived in the faith of His Word, they could have enjoyed this trip more than they enjoyed it. What made them so afraid is we're going to perish. Were they going to perish? No. The Master said, let us go forth on the other side. And they came to the other side. I heard a man say one time that it wouldn't be good, he said, to teach a young convert that Christ has secured his eternal salvation. He said it wouldn't be good to teach a young convert that Christ has secured his eternal salvation. Well, the question I would ask that man, is it the truth or not? Has the Lord Jesus secured the eternal salvation of every believer? The Scripture says He has. Then if that's the truth, teach it. Somebody said, well, he's a young convert. He may abuse it. I tell you our problem today. It's the same problem these disciples had. We don't believe the Lord has secured us enough. It's not our problems that bothers us. We could face our problem. It's this that bothers us. We're afraid that the Lord will not secure us. That's our whole problem. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, let him be who he will. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the dear and blessed Son of God. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, they said here, we perish. What was their problem? Somebody had not convinced them to believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my next point here this morning. Why were they so fearful? The Lord Jesus tells them here in verse 30, verse 40. Why are you so fearful? Was it the storm? Was that their problem? That wasn't their problem. That wasn't their problem. He tells them here in verse 39, verse 40. How is it that ye have no faith? Now they had faith. Understand, the Lord is not saying literally you have no faith. When he said, you get in the ship, and they obeyed him, they had faith. Matthew's account of this says, how come you have such a little faith? But what the Master is telling them here, why is it that you do not exercise your faith in what I said? That's your whole problem. I said to you, let us go unto the other side. And you don't believe what I told you. You know what the foundation of our faith is? It's the Word of Christ. It's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But that same Word that brings faith, it strengthens the faith that it brings. We're not only saved by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But brothers and sisters, we must live by faith. If we don't, we're going to live by fear. Either live by faith or fear. I like that little saying. Somebody said, fear knocked at the door. And faith answered. And nobody was there. We're going to live by fear or we're going to live by faith. That was their whole problem. I want you to look over here with me just a minute. In Matthew's account of this. In Matthew chapter 8. These disciples had not yet learned to live by faith. These same disciples, not much later than this, you remember how they stood in the face of danger and never flinched. They never batted an eye. Not long after this incident happened. Remember James and John? They stood before the Sanhedrin Council and they beat them. They threatened them, didn't do any good. Then they beat them. And they left that council rejoicing. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. They left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the Master's name. James, he was in this ship, scared to death at this time. Just a while later, Herod killed him. I don't know if he cut his head off, if he stabbed him, but he killed him with a sword. Peter slept between two soldiers, knowing the next morning they were going to kill him. He's asleep. But now, right here at this instant, they were scared to death. And you know what their problem was? They had not learned yet to live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to look here in Matthew chapter 8. Just before they had left to get in this ship, look at this incident. I want to show you a good example here of faith, strong faith. Look at this. Look in verse 5. Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. I'll come and lay my hands on him and he'll be made whole. Or I'll come and speak a word over him and he'll be healed. I'll come to your house and heal him. And look what he said. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Can you imagine? You know what this man did just right here? He valued the words of Christ more than he did the presence of Christ. Now that's amazing, ain't it? He valued the authority of the Word of Christ more than he did seeing the Lord lay his hands on his sick servant. That's amazing, isn't it? And look what he said in verse 9. For he said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. What qualifies as a great faith? Faith that don't have to feel anything? Faith that don't have to see any signs? Faith that don't have to hear anything but the naked, bare Word of God? That's faith. That's faith. What this man is saying here, he's saying, Lord, here's the confidence I have in you. Here's what I believe about you. I believe you have authority over everything. I know something about authority. I can speak to this man under me and say, you go do this. I can tell this one under me, you do that. And they do it. And all you have to do is speak. That's how much authority you've got. You just say the word. Now, brothers and sisters, let me ask you something this morning. Is there anything that's not under the authority of the Son of God? Any of your storms? Any of your trials? Are not all of those under His authority? And if He says to you, I've given you life eternal, I will never leave you or forsake you, can He not fulfill those promises? And it's faith that says this, I don't need to see anything. As a matter of fact, what I do see is a terrible temptation to me to disbelieve. But the Lord Jesus said this, let us go to the other side. And faith says, that's enough. That's enough. Wasn't that their problem? That was their problem. How is it that you do not exercise your faith? In my word. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. Our warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though my heart condemns me for want of some sweet token, His Word is greater than my heart. Is it really? Is it greater than my trials? Is it greater than the opposition? Is it greater than my perceptions that I may not get through this storm? It's greater than everything. There is one greater than my heart. There's one greater than my storms, my opposition. And His Word can never be broken. And I tell you, sometimes He brings us through this storm. He faces us with situations that we can't get around, we can't get over, we can't get under. And there's where we stop. And we'll learn to live by faith without any sight. Or we'll fear and we'll doubt and we'll almost sink in despair. Let me show you another passage of Scripture. Look in 2 Corinthians. Look at this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. When the Lord first saved me, and some of you can bear witness to this in your own life, I thought things was going to be easy. I really did. And they were for 3 or 4 months. Things were so easy. And then, boy, I tell you, I began to hit some storms. And to this very day, I'm still learning to live by faith. By simply trusting the Lord. Still learning to do that, really. Learning to lean on Jesus. And here's what the Apostle Paul learned himself. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. There's that word alert. We don't want you to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Of the trouble that came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure. Above strength. insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves for this reason. Look here where God brings His children to sometimes. It sounds awful drastic, and maybe it is. But here's why He brings them there. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. See what Paul lived by? Boy, he faced a storm just like these disciples did. They went 14 days without seeing the sun. Never ate. And Paul went down into the deck of that ship. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Saul, Paul, I've got a message from the Lord to you. He's going to bring you through this storm, and you're going to stand before a king. You're going to be brought to Rome." And Paul went back up on the brow of that ship, and he gathered those men together, and he said, "Brethren, be of good cheer. An angel of the Lord appeared to me and said he's going to be saved. And I believe God. It's going to be just like he said. I believe God." The exercise of faith. You're going to have to take His word and live by faith in His word. He's going to drive you to that. When His presence is hid from you, you can't feel it. When everything's dark, He's going to drive you to His word, to believe His word. That's all you're going to have to hope in. And as you do that, as you live by faith, you know what it does? Hope springs up in you. Hope. You always got these three things, these three graces. Faith, hope, and love. But faith goes before all the others. Faith goes first. Being justified by faith. And as we live by faith in our Savior, hope springs up. What faith should have done in these disciples, and what it probably did later on when the trial came, they said, "The Master said, let's go across to the other side." Their faith lay hold of the promise. And what happens when faith lays hold of the promise? Hope springs up. And hope says, "I can't see the shore. I can't feel that solid ground under my feet. But He says, I know it's there. And I'll hope. And I'll wait until I feel the solid ground under my feet." See how hope and faith works together. Faith takes hold of the Word and he believes it right now. And then hope springs up and said, "It's going to be well. It's going to be well." And then what happens? Then love comes in. Love comes in. And says, "Oh, what a gracious Master. He told us we was going to cross to the other side. Nothing was going to destroy us. Oh, we've got a good hope because of what He told us." Then love springs up for the Lord Jesus. Did you notice these three things were absent with these apostles? Their faith, they weren't exercising faith. Their hope was gone. "We perished," they said, "we perished." And where was love? "Don't you care?" Oh, what a terrible reproach to the Lord Jesus. "Don't you care? Does the Lord Jesus care? What's the cross tell us? What does His groans, what does His sweat mixed with His blood tell us? That tells us He cares. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He cares." But oh, when you're not living by faith, and when hope is not in exercise, you can't even see that He still loves you, can you? Believe His word. Hope in the Lord. "Lord, remember the word unto your servant upon which you have caused me to hope." We're going to the other side. And then you'll see His love for you. Then you'll see His love for you. God bless His word to our hearts. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for this precious word you've given us. Thank you for leaving us your Bible. Especially in our day, Lord. Putting it together in this precious volume, we can read the words of our living Lord. Grant us grace, Lord, to believe, to honor you by believing you. We thank you, our Lord, for this people that's gathered here today. We know that you've given many of them life. Many of them are yet without life, without the life of God. If it please you, through your precious word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, break in upon their souls and give them life eternal that's in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the sunlight, for the ability to think and move and have our being. Thank you for these dear friends and family. Thank you for our country, all the years of liberty that you've given it, freedoms. We pray for our poor leaders, the awesome task that they have. We pray against sin, our own sin, against the sins of others, that you'd subdue them, that you'd keep them beat down. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd make yourself real to all our hearts, that we may know you and rejoice in you. In your name we pray. Amen.